Chapter 6 Shadan Cairn. Jen's eyes fluttered open. The sun had just cleared the horizon into a blue and pink sky gashed with fast-moving, ragged clouds. The breeze had enough bite in it to rouse him, and he rolled onto an elbow. Raphael leaned against the church wall nearby, head bandaged and face pale. Despite his obvious discomfort, he managed a smile for his apprentice.
"How do you feel, Jen?"
Jen probed his head. A large lump protruded from the back of his skull, painful to the touch, and his head throbbed. Slowly he became aware of the crying and anxious muttering around him. With Raphael's help, he stood. Someone had laid him at the steps of the church, along with several others of the wounded. Regina rested nearby, head in her mother's lap. The rest of the town milled about the square under careful watch. Soldiers, too many for Jen to count, surrounded the throng but made no move against them. From time to time, people from more distant homes arrived under guard to join their neighbours.
"Who are they?" Jen asked.
"Agmerian soldiers, boy," Raphael whispered. "They wear no device, but they're Agmerian, or I'm a mule's ass."
Raphael's tone was angry and resigned.
"We've been standing out in the cold and wind for half a watch now while they drag people in. They're waiting for someone. Their commander, I presume. They've already carted off some of the people they slaughtered. The warden and the huntmaster were both killed. A couple of Agmerians were in the cart too, so someone put up a fight."
Jen rubbed his eyes.
"Agmerians? How would they get here?"
"Hard to say," Raphael answered. "This makes no sense at all."
"Where's Magistrate Scholes?" Jen asked.
"No one's seen the magistrate, but the rest of his family is around."
Jen rubbed his arms and breathed deeply to clear his head. A steady breeze blew across the square, carrying with it the scents of the night's rain and wood smoke. Jen wrapped his cloak about him and snaked around the wounded to where Regina lay, trying to avoid the attention of nearby soldiers. As he approached, she turned toward him. Her face, which had recovered its healthy hue, revealed her relief at the sight of him. Dark circles ringed her eyes.
"So what were you doing in our storeroom in the middle of the night, young bard? I see you were injured."
Jen crouched down and took her hand.
"I suppose you think that I was ensuring your safety. But to be honest, I was really checking to see how much wheat you had." "This is hardly the time for jokes, Jen. How do you feel? Did you fight that soldier? I almost died when I saw him drag you out of the storeroom. You appeared dead."
"I'm afraid there wasn't much fighting to it. I had an unfortunate run-in with one of your shelves and it felled me. I now have a wound nearly identical to yours."
Regina's eyes went wide and she smiled weakly, reaching out to touch his face affectionately. A commotion lifted Jen's eyes back to the crowd. Hubert, a mix of scared and infuriated, pushed his way through the throng to where Jen and Regina were talking.
"Out of the way, Jen!" Hubert grumbled. "She's my betrothed. I'll care for her."
"Unless you think playing dice and hard drinking will lift her spirits or cure her wounds," Jen said, "I suggest you'd best leave the caring to those more suited and able to give it."
Hubert twisted up his face as if conjuring up a retort, but after a moment he abandoned the attempt, choosing instead to shove Jen roughly to the ground. Jen, already weak, fell onto his back and stayed there, head spinning. Nearby soldiers laughed. Raphael spat in Hubert's direction.
"Foolish lad,"
he said acidly, taking Jen's arm and helping him sit up.
"Can't you see what's going on here? Isn't the time for brats or brawling?"
Jen didn't know if Raphael was addressing him or Hubert. A scream ended the altercation and hushed the crowd. Raphael helped Jen to his feet, and they both cast their eyes about. The door to the Scholes' house had opened, and Bernard, dressed in his bedclothes and covered in dried feces, emerged, flanked by two burly guards. Behind them came a man Jen knew had to be their leader. He wore a burnished silver breastplate engraved with a golden hammer. Golden greaves, worth more than Jen could fathom, shone on his legs, and under his arm he carried a polished silver helmet with a short red plume. On a studded belt hung a scabbard richly appointed with red and blue gems. He was handsome, with a sharp, commanding face, framed by shoulder-length black hair streaked with grey. A stern mouth was accented with a close-cropped goatee, and blue eyes regarded the crowd unconcernedly.
"Mikkig, take me," Raphael whispered. "That's Torbrand Cairn himself."
"Are you sure?" Jen asked. "The Shadan of Ogmir? Here?"
"It is him, Jen. Be wary. He is by reputation capricious."
"Silence!"
Shadan Cairn's voice thundered into the square with unusual power, choking out the murmuring. Even children stopped crying. Bernard grasped the porch railing and trembled in his bedclothes. Jen doubted it was from the cold.
"People of Tal,"
Cairn began in a deep, pleasant voice, as if addressing the crowd at a fair.
"I claim this town for Ogmir in the name of, well, myself."
The Shadan laughed, and in that laugh Jen detected the stain of madness.
"Those of you with more than rocks in your heads, of which I suspect there are few, will realize that it is a bit late in the season to start an invasion. That is true. Those of you with the intelligence of an ox, of which I suspect there are none, will have figured out that during this nice little invasion we have burned nothing and killed very few. Those who are truly brilliant, of which I know there are none, will have reasoned that this little army of mine intends to winter here. Now, those same people will realize something else. With the stores of food you have available, there simply isn't enough to go around to feed all of you and my brave company of soldiers, especially after that silly celebration yesterday. We'll address that problem later. First, we must resolve a pressing matter regarding respect. Your magistrate here, in a cowardly attempt to save his own life, climbed out his window and ran to hide in his outhouse. Never mind the gross and blatant stupidity of that particular decision on his part, but you have no doubt noticed that your magistrate is covered in his own filth, and the filth of his wife and offspring. Someone, you see, dug out this man's outhouse in a crude prank, resulting in his rather putrid condition and forcing me to smell him while I negotiated with him the simple terms of the surrender of this town. I would like to know, who has done this thing? Who had the audacity to play such a prank upon his superior and cause me such discomfort? I know this a gross violation of Tolnor's silly traditions of propriety and rank, and in my country an underling would get death for a stunt like this. And this is now my country. Step forward and identify yourself, or I'll start the killing now. Oh my, there, I've gone and said it."
Murmuring and crying kindled anew in the crowd, and in the brief moment of chaos Raphael came to stand at Jen's side.
"Say nothing, or it's your death."
Jen's limbs froze with fear. Gant had helped him. Jen searched the faces in the gathering, finally finding his friend staring firmly at the ground. Yarl stood nearby, face ashen and shirt stained with blood. Her father was not near her, and Jen wondered if the woodsmen put up much of a defence.
"Silence!"
Cairn's voice cut through the noise with ease, cowing the crowd and restoring order.
"Please, to the matter at hand. Who has done this? Come now, or I begin killing women and children."
Jen's sense of honour wrestled with his will to survive. He looked at Cairn and the sword at his belt. He looked at Raphael and Regina, both grim-faced. He looked to the townsfolk, mothers and fathers, clinging to children and friends, consoling one another. Then he looked within himself, and somewhere found the courage to do what he must.
"I did it,"
Jen shouted, raising his hand. Cairn's gaze shot across the square, and it took a sheer act of will to look the king in the eyes. Nothing in those eyes spoke of friendliness or compassion, only dark will and madness.
"There's a good lad. Come forward."
Jen glanced at Regina, who watched him from the ground, eyes tearful.
"Goodbye, Regina," Jen said softly.
walking through the path created as the throng split before him. Some reached out to touch him as he passed.
"If I am to die, I will try to have some dignity," he thought, raising his head and straightening his shoulders as he marched forward.
Cairn watched him approach without expression. Bernard stared intensely at Jen, almost snarling. As Jen neared, Cairn signalled for him to ascend to the Shoals' porch and stand by him. Jen, head swimming, bent all his will toward not stumbling or appearing as weak as he felt. Cairn's hand lingered near the hilt of his blade. Oddly, the Shadan smiled and put his arm around Jen's shoulder, pulling him close.
"Courageous indeed! A man of fortitude! It will be a shame to kill you. Tell me and the assembled why you did such a horrible thing. I simply must know, and the crowd is in need of some levity. I warn you now, don't lie to me, because I can discern it."
Jen considered telling a story that would leave Regina out of it, but his thoughts felt so jumbled and he was so fearful of Cairn's wrath that he told the tale in full, managing to leave Gant out of it without lying. Cairn listened patiently, showing nothing until the end, when he laughed.
"How quaint! You disgrace the magistrate for the love of the woman. Though I have a hard time believing Hubert is as much a bore as you make him out to be. But tell me, what is your name?"
"Jen."
"Tell me, Jen, what is your profession? You speak very well for a commoner from a filthy town."
"I'm a bard, and will be a journeyman come spring."
At this, Cairn's eyes lit up, and his mood quickly changed to feverish magnanimity. He began talking so fast, Jen had a hard time keeping up.
"Excellent! I must admit that I was going to kill you, but being a bard covers many sins, and I thus forgive you for the moments of stink I had to endure. You shall live as shall your master. I couldn't bear the thought of passing the winter in this rat hole without entertainment. To keep you on your best behaviour, the woman shall live too. Captain, have them come forward, please." "Hey, hey!"
Hubert struggled forward from the depths of the crowd to shout at the Shadan. Jen winced at his stupidity.
"She's my betrothed! We were supposed to be married come spring! She's mine!"
Annoyed at the outburst, Cairn stared at Hubert until the young man's knees knocked together.
"Well, Jen, I see now what you meant."
Cairn's eyes pinned Hubert to his spot.
"Young man, in my country, when there is a dispute over whose property a woman is, we resolve it appropriately through a challenge, not through childish whining. In the future, I may give you the chance to challenge Jen for her, but I've no time for that now. A quick lesson will do. Captain Omar, could you teach this idiot a little respect?"
Captain Omar was the very definition of stocky. A muscular head, complete with hair no longer than the stubble on his cheeks, sat upon a practically non-existent neck. Though thick of shoulder and thigh, Jen noticed that the man moved with exceptional agility. The captain was more than happy to oblige the Cairn's demands. With a satisfied smirk, he delivered a sound fist to Hubert's stomach and a hammering knee to his face.
"You watch your tongue, whelp, or next time it'll be worse,"
the captain barked while Hubert rolled around in the dirt, covering his face as blood from his nose spurted onto the ground. With the help of the townsfolk, the captain located Raphael and Regina and signalled for them to come forward. Regina leaned heavily on Raphael, knees unsteady. Jen admired her courage, for despite all the injury and terror, her face was firm.
"She's a rare one for a dirt-water town, and looks like she comes from noble stock,"
Cairn said quietly to Jen, voice lusty.
"I can see how her being betrothed to that dolt would offend your bardish sensibilities, though I will have her wear a veil from now on so she won't prove such a distraction."
Raphael shot Jen a glance that said, "Be careful," and Regina touched his hand as she came to stand behind him. Cairn turned to face them, whispering so that no one else could hear.
"You three get to live. Count yourselves fortunate, but not free. If any one of you disobeys, I will not punish the disobedient, but one of the others. Learn it well. Now get into the house and get it clean while I deal with some unpleasant realities."
Jen gazed at the terrified townspeople for a moment as he helped Regina inside and set her down to rest by one of the windows. A dread silence hung in the air, and some who saw what was to come began to pray and say impassioned farewells. Pierman Millersham moved among the crowd, comforting those that needed it most. Regina cried softly behind him as she regarded the scene. Her mother carried her little sister, and her father worked his hat in his hands. A knot of fear and sadness swelled in Jen's stomach. To take his mind off it, he closed the door and set to the task that Cairn had given. The soldiers had wrecked the Scholes' house during their attack. Chairs, broken and overturned, littered the floor. Bed dressings lay flung about the rooms, and the shards of many little trinkets, vases and pots the Scholes' had hoarded crunched underfoot. Jen straightened the bedrooms while Raphael cleaned the kitchen and the ample front room. As they worked, shouts and cries rose and fell outside, and after trying to ignore them, Jen walked back to the front room and the window that overlooked the square. Regina was there already, face anxious and tear-streaked. Cairn still stood on the porch, hand on hips, watching as his men divided the town in two. On one side, most of the youth, between 10 and 17, huddled together. On the other side was everyone else.
"What are they doing, Raphael?" Jen asked, half-guessing at the grim answer.
"They will keep the youth to serve them during the winter months. The rest..."
Raphael's voice trailed off.
"They can't kill them,"
Regina shrieked, bolting for the door. Jen restrained her. Cairn's head turned slightly at the scream.
"You can't do anything, lass,"
Raphael soothed as Regina clung to Jen and wept. Tears ran down Jen's face as Raphael continued to talk.
"You must be strong for those who are left. It will be a long winter. You and Jen are among the oldest here, and will be counted on for strength. We shall all meet again in Aralinda some day."
Outside, Bernard bellowed.
"There will be word of this. I certainly hope so," Cairn smirked, "and I thank you for reminding me. Jen, come out here, please, and Omar, fetch the letters."
Jen swallowed hard and wiped his eyes before walking back out onto the porch. Once again, Cairn put his arm around him.
"It is my intention, good people, to engage in your stupid custom of warning each other that you are about to attack. Really, Jen, you must tell me how anyone got that notion into his head. If an enemy is worth killing, then a knife in the back is just as warranted as a knife in the chest, wouldn't you say? Well?"
It took a while for Jen to realize that the Shadan actually wanted an answer.
"Honor, sir, dictates that... well..."
"Honor! Oh, yes. If you consider someone honorable, why would you kill them in the first place? Honor has no place in war, only advantage. But, as I said, I shall acquiesce this once. I have here two letters, one to be delivered to your Duke Norshwall of Grey Tower, and the other to the Honorable Baron Forthrickshire. They outline my presence here in the heart of Tol Nor and my intentions to give them a solid beating come spring, should they choose to fight rather than surrender. Surrender would be very disappointing, however, so I made it a point to be as arrogant and insulting as possible to inflame their manly indignation. I would like two messengers for each message, and as a sign of my goodwill toward you, Jen, I will let you choose who they are. Now don't be an idiot and say Regina, because she gets to stay to be leverage on you."
Jen's mind raced, but one choice was obvious.
"Gant and Yeryl."
"Come forward, then,"
Cairn yelled. Gant took a despondent Yeryl by the hand and led her forward. Jen met his eye, finding gratitude there.
"Ah, a friend and his woman, then. Very well. Where shall they go?"
"To the Duke."
"That is fine, though he might not believe two commoners unless I send further proof. Does the Duke know you, magistrate?"
Bernard perked up, a glint of hope in his eyes.
"He does,"
Bernard said eagerly.
"He is my cousin." "Very good,"
Cairn replied.
"I shall send your head with them. Quartermaster, give these to a horse and provisions. Omar, see to the head."
Bernard, pale, sunk to the ground and pled for his life. Despite years of abuse, Jen felt pity for the man as Omar dragged him away behind the house. The quartermaster, a young Okmerian with dark hair, signalled Gant and Yeryl forward and waited for the second selection.
"Who shall go to the Baron?" Cairn prodded.
Bernard screamed and screeched so pathetically that Jen couldn't focus his mind until the sick thud of his head hitting the ground plunged everything into profound and unnatural silence. Cairn's eyes bulged, and Jen thought of Regina.
George and Rena Mornwald, and their young daughter, if you will.
Strangely, Cairn laughed and slapped Jen on the back.
You are very predictable. The woman holds great power over you indeed, and now you secure more of her favour by your magnanimous gesture toward her parents. What a game. Very well. I will permit the daughter to go, for she is too young to be of use anyway. Quartermaster, see to it. Here are the letters.
The quartermaster took them. George and Rena looked back sadly as they left. Jen felt exhausted, emotions running high. The Shadan grabbed his shoulder.
Now get back inside. The rest of this will be difficult.
Jen opened the door and found himself in Regina's grateful embrace. Through the window, Jen could see the soldiers leading the men, women, and young children down the road that led to the woods. The sky had cleared, and the sun shone down on what otherwise would have been a pleasant morning. For just a moment, Jen could imagine that those chosen to die were simply out for a morning stroll, or perhaps on their way to visit family in Sipton, but the terrified cries of the children and the rough shoving of the guards tore the illusion away. Jen didn't have to think very hard to figure out that most everyone else in the town would walk the same path come spring. The door banged open loudly as Shadan Cairn and Captain Omar strode inside, agitating already raw nerves. Regina pulled away from Jen and wiped her face. They all stared at the floor as the Shadan circled around in front of them.
Nasty business, that,
Cairn said in a tone that made it difficult to tell whether he cared.
But I see that you haven't quite finished the chore to which I set you. The floor is still strewn with the broken belongings of that pig you called magistrate. As this was clearly the job of young Regina here, and since she decided to spend her time weeping and screaming instead of sweeping and cleaning, I shall punish Jen here as a lesson.
Jen barely had time to widen his eyes with surprise before he found Cairn's sword had entered his belly and come out his back. The inhuman speed with which he had drawn his weapon and thrust it shocked Jen, and what pain he felt came slowly by comparison. Blood poured out of the wound as the king extracted the sword, and Jen slumped to the ground, everything below his waist numb. The world spun, and he dimly heard Raphael trying to speak to him. Regina was near too, face blurry and voice warbled. Somewhere behind them, Torbrand Cairn and Captain Omar laughed. Gradually, everything faded, and Jen sensed in a detached way the life slipping out of him. Summers and winters passed before his mind. Hours reading books, playing the lute, and singing songs reeled around him. He saw his brief talk with Regina at the well, her blonde hair moving with the breeze, as if he were a spectator rather than a participant. Then it stopped, and everything went black. And then he was awake, Cairn leaning over him, a light sweat on his brow.
See, I told you, it is my gift. I can bring people back from the brink of death, should I so choose. Only the Shalane herself is said to be able to heal with greater power, and I doubt not that those tales are exaggerated.
Jen checked himself. He lay in a pool of his own blood, his shirt and breeches soaked, but he could feel his legs again. The bump from his encounter with the shelf was gone, and lifting up his shirt he could see that the deadly wound was now nothing more than a scar. Jen stood, realizing that not all the fantastic stories told about Torbrand Cairn were false. In fact, most of them now seemed true.
Of course, what this means to you is this, the Shadan continued. I can beat and torture you almost to death, and have you up and ready to work and suffer the next day if you do not do exactly as I ask.
Torbrand daubed the sweat off his forehead with his sleeve.
Get me a drink, old man. Jen, you and the girl get this place cleaned up. Open some windows. It still stinks like that befouled magistrate in here. And Jen, it will, of course, fall to you to get an outhouse in working order as quickly as possible. I would like you to dig a new pit and fill in the old one.
Captain Omar examined Jen for a moment.
You be careful of this one, my lord. He thinks he has a brain in his head, and he ain't no coward.
Isn't a coward, Omar,
Cairn replied in exasperation.
For the sake of all civilized people, Captain, let's try a little harder not to talk like we were in the stockade. But just to show you that I still like you, appoint that Hubert boy to be the leader of the children. I will give you plenty of excuses to beat him when he fouls up.
Excellent, my lord. I'll be seeing... I shall attend to it immediately.
Thank you, Captain.
Captain Omar left quickly.
You'll have to forgive the captain's language. I took him as a slave and trained him myself when I saw how he was built. Perfect fighter, strong, fast, and no neck at which the enemy can aim a decapitating blow. He is, however, still a little coarse around the edges, and if you ask me, he enjoys the killing a little too much. A good fighter enjoys the fight, not the end of it. Notwithstanding, his ability makes him a jewel.
The king's face turned contemplative, and Jen wasn't sure if he was addressing them any more.
Almost as good as Cormith, the captain. Cormith liked the killing too, but he was an unsettling person all around. I could do a better job than I did with both of them, though. Neither one could kill me.
The king went silent, lost in thought for so long that Jen glanced at Raphael questioningly. Raphael mouthed,
"Crazy."
Cairn stood suddenly, eyes fierce.
"What are you waiting for?"
he yelled.
"Get to it!"
By early afternoon, Jen threw the last shovelful out of the new waste pit and climbed out covered in dirt and mud. A soldier lazed around by a tree, watching him with no concern. Jen hadn't seen the Shadan for some time. Regina passed by the rear windows several times while she cleaned. Sometimes she chanced to look at him, though Cairn forced her to wear a veil after the tradition of his people. He had apparently brought a supply of veils along for the invasion and was distributing them among all the young women. Raphael played for Cairn later that morning, but the music stopped near the midday meal, which none of them, apparently, was to enjoy. Jen leaned on the spade. All he had left to do was fill in the old waste pit and move the outhouse over.
"Get on with it, boy," the soldier growled. "I'm tired of going in the woods."
"Yes, sir." A horn blew and many of the soldiers emerged from the houses and buildings to congregate in the square. Jen's guard left his post.
"You stay here," the soldier ordered. "I run faster than a deer and can track the wind. You run away, I'll find you quick-like and make you regret it."
Jen went to the thicket where he and Gant had hid the dirt they dug the night before. Jen noticed the assembly in the square, Torbrand standing on the church steps, waiting for his men to arrive. Bjorman Millersham stood behind him, and Jen wondered why Cairn let him live. Jen thought only briefly of bolting away into the woods to escape, and then gave up the notion. He couldn't leave Regina and Raphael behind. From what little he knew of Cairn, the crazed king would send a party to hunt him down and kill him anyway.
"You ain't done yet,"
the guard strode around the corner of the house after several minutes.
"I was about to get a drink, sir." "What, a drink from a pretty lady, eh? Well, you get nothing until I'm sitting down in that outhouse. You ain't got it done soon. I think Cairn will beat on your lady for punishment. Now get going."
The soldier grabbed him roughly by the shirt and threw him headlong into the hole he had just dug, chuckling at the result. The thought of Regina taking a beating at Cairn's hands spurred Jen to greater efforts, and putting aside his hunger and discomfort, he worked frantically, finishing the task just before Torbrand appeared around the corner of the house.
"Good work, Jen," he said, tone light. "After I personally inspect your handiwork, I want to hear you play. Your master is tolerably good, though a little slow and cracking around the edges. Now get cleaned up. Guard, you are dismissed."
Jen noticed that the soldiers never returned or reflected Cairn's lighter moods, remaining somber and focused. Jen took it as further evidence of their captor's capriciousness. He decided to follow the soldier's strategy, say as little as possible and take every remark, however flippantly given, as God's law.